I don't know how many of you have got an invitation to Buckingham Palace any time, have you? Anybody been there? Oh, you've been there, Nora, right. Yeah. Well, I haven't been there, you know. And one day we're going to enter not Buckingham Palace, but the palace in heaven, aren't we? Praise God. Praise God. He has a throne too, praise God, a throne room. And one day we're going to see His Majesty. Praise God this morning. Well, if you have your Bibles with us, I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 12 and verse 17. I think I'll ask Sue if you'll come out and read that for us, would you? Some tricky words there in one of the verses. Chapter 4, and from verse 12 to verse 17. Amen. You can come and stand in front of the mic.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold.
Chapter 4. Matthew? 12.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Sue. That which was prophesied by Isaiah was about now to be fulfilled. And very often when you read the Word of God, especially the New Testament, you find that reference, that a certain prophecy is now being fulfilled. And here is one of those prophecies that we read about in God's Word. The prophecy that Isaiah gave is now being fulfilled in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which one day will be completed in all its fullness at the return of Jesus Christ, coming to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's good to know who we're serving this morning. Not anybody. We're serving His Majesty this morning, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Paul, writing in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, he says this, who in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A lot of people don't acknowledge him this morning. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, I looked up that word potentate, you know, good word, isn't it? Potentate, you know. And it means a monarch or a ruler. And praise God this morning, he is a monarch. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day, he's coming. And this prophecy of Isaiah will be fulfilled in its completeness. Praise God. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2, we have the prophecy which Isaiah gave. And I'm not going to labor that this morning, but in the first two verses, it speaks about a light coming and a light shining. And then, of course, we know at this time, we're coming up to Christmas. And the next verses in that chapter 9 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. You know, nothing can stop God's word coming to pass. Praise God. God has got a timetable. for this world. And we know that one day he is going to return. We've been celebrating around the Lord's table. And Jesus said, do this until I come. He's coming. And when you look around in the world this morning, and we see all the problems that are surmounting in the world, in every country, we see signs that are pointing to the return of the Lord. It seems to be so much violence and unhappiness and evil that's going on in the world. And truly, the world needs peace. Not the peace of the world, but the peace that our Lord and Savior can give. He changes the person from within and out. Praise God. And this morning, we are sinners saved by grace. We are changed. We've been converted. Hallelujah. To the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And so, we're coming up to the time of Christmas. We remember God sent his Son into the world to be our Savior and to be our Redeemer. It speaks of walking in darkness and those who dwelt in the land and the shadow of death. You know, I won't pronounce those words, you know, where they place names, but you know, they were always under the threat of invasion. You know, we know how the children of Israel, they were time and time again, they were disobedient to God's word, and God's judgment fell upon them. And every time, of course, they cried out to God, and God sent a deliverer to deliver them from the hand of the oppressor. And in the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah, you know, they were subject to the incursion of Assyria and other nations around. And I believe they cried, but this time, of course, God allowed them to go into exile into the land of Babylon for 70 years. But even there was a promise that one day they would return back to the promised land. And we know, of course, that God kept his word. And we know how they came back to Jerusalem. And we find here that in this prophecy, prophesying the coming of the Messiah. And we know, of course, the prophecy concerning the Messiah was he was going to be a suffering Messiah. He was going to go to a cross. He was going to die upon the cross. But the people were looking for a Messiah who would come and throw off the shackles of the usurper, and even at that time, the Roman authorities, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah to deliver them from the occupation of Rome. And even the disciples, after the resurrection of Jesus, they said to him, "Will thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times, but the Father has put it in his own hands. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses unto me." And so we find there they were looking for a Messiah who would come to rule and reign and once again establish the kingdom of Israel. But you know, God has got a greater thing than that. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole world. Praise God when he comes to set up his kingdom here on earth. And so we're now reading, it says in verse 16, "The people who sat in darkness, they saw a great light, and light has dawned." I've written down here, the song we used to sing, "Is always darkest before the dawn," you know. And we know, of course, that the sun comes up and, praise God, dispels all the darkness. And we know that light disperses darkness. I'm glad of that this morning. When you go home in the dark, you can put the switch down, the light comes on, darkness is gone. Praise God. And so way back in creation, when there was darkness, God said, "Let there be light." And we know that there was light. The sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. And I'm glad, you know, I don't know if you can remember those days when we used to have those nights when the sun would come out and then the moon would come out in the darkness. And it was like daytime, wasn't it? You know, you see the stars glittering in the skies and the moon when it came out. I think they were the days during the war when the bombers liked to come over, wasn't it? You know, they could see where they were dropping their bombs. And so God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In verse 17, "From that time It said Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The promise is now being fulfilled. And we have there in the same chapter, chapter 4 of Matthew, we have the call to Andrew, to Peter, to James and John, who are fishermen, "Come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And then we know how Jesus began to teach, began to preach, he healed, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond. Truly, they saw a great light. Light had dawned in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of that prophecy of Isaiah. And in John 8:12, Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life." And trust that every one of us this morning are following him. Praise God. You know, if we follow him, not turning to the left or turning to the right, keep your eyes on Jesus this morning. Follow him because he knows the way. It's good to follow someone who knows the way. But if you're following someone who doesn't know the way, you might get lost. But praise God, when you follow Jesus, you won't get lost. He knows the way from earth. He knows the way to heaven. Praise God. And when we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will walk in the light of his presence. And praise God, this morning in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand this morning, there are pleasures forevermore. And so Jesus, "I am the light of the world." Jesus knew what it was to be rejected by men. He also knew what it was when people believed and received the message that he preached. There were those, of course, who stayed in darkness and unbelief. And then there were those who came out of darkness into light and they followed Jesus. They became disciples of Jesus. And this morning, we're all disciples. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we are disciples of Jesus, following our blessed Lord and Savior. He wants us to be a blessing in this world. Jesus came to bless people, to meet people's needs. And as we travel through life, he wants us to follow him. He wants our lives to be a blessing to others, an encouragement to others, you know, to lift people up. And we know, of course, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus this morning. And this morning, we are disciples of the Lord, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In John 12, we find there these words that I can read them to you this morning, 32 and verse 36. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And during his ministry, he began to tell the disciples that he was going to die upon the cross. They didn't want to hear that, did they? They were looking for a Messiah who would come to reign, not to die upon the cross. And we know how Peter tried to withstand, "Oh, not so, not so, Lord." And Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we know, of course, that behind it all, Satan wanted to stop Jesus going to the cross. But Jesus set his face like a flint. He went to the cross. He laid down his life that the world might be saved. You know, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And so he went to the cross. But praise God, the third day he rose again triumphant over sin, over Satan, over all the powers of Satan. And because he overcome this morning, we can be overcomers too. Paul said, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." You're not under law, but you're under grace. We can say no to temptation. We can say no to sin. In our hearts, in our lives, we want to serve him who has called us to follow him this morning. And so we find in those verses this morning that Jesus began to reveal to them that the time had come for him to die upon the cross. Wasn't what they wanted to hear. And so Jesus said to them, believing Jesus is to walk in the light. Can I read them for you this morning? Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth. And verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and he departed and did hide himself from them. And so we find there, if you want to be a children of light, praise God, you've got to believe on the light. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's believing and receiving Jesus into the hearts, into the heart. You know, in John 3, we have that discourse with Nicodemus. Marvelous chapter, that, isn't it? There we have those marvelous words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it says there in verse 17 that Jesus said, I am not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Praise God. You don't need to be told you're a sinner this morning. But praise God, this morning we are sinners saved by grace. And, you know, it was leveled at Jesus. Well, he's a friend of publicans and sinners. And Jesus had to say, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. Jesus came to change people's lives, to deliver them from the power of sin and Satan. And so, in verse 9, it said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because of their evil ways. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, he comes to the light, or she comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We have come to him this morning, haven't we? We believed on him. The light of the glorious gospel has shone into our hearts. And we know this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is indeed the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. In Romans 1:16, to those who believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts. He doesn't want the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel, to shine in people's hearts. He doesn't want people to come to the truth, to believe on Jesus. But this morning, let our prayer be, Lord, we want to be useful in pointing men and women to you. You are the one who can be to meet the needs of mankind this morning. And praise God, this is what another verse says in verse 6. And Paul writes, how God commanded the light to shine into our hearts, given the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that our eyes of understanding been opened to the truth of his Son. Yes, we follow him this morning, the light of the world, not walking or living in darkness, but in the light of his presence. Hallelujah. Following him who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man come unto the Father unless he comes by me. There's a right way of coming to him this morning, and we know it's through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we follow him, we won't go far wrong. He knows the way. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that this morning. In 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Can I read it again? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we have fellowship together this morning, one with another. And you know, this is the way to live, isn't it? To have fellowship one with another. There's enough trouble outside in the world without trouble within the church. Praise God. We want to be on speaking terms one with another. We want to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. Praise God, to build one another in this wonderful faith. And I just want to read a few verses just in closing this morning. And you want to turn to your Bible. It's Colossians 1 this morning and verse 10. Well-known scriptures this morning. One of those small chapters this morning. Chapter 1 and verse 10 to 14. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption this morning, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We are the children, not of darkness, we are the children of light. Hallelujah. Because we are following him who said, I am the light of the world. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But this morning, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise God, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are children of the day. We're children of light this morning. And the Lord wants to know this. Praise God. What a privileged position we have in him this morning. We're sons and daughters of God. We are princes and princesses this morning. Well, we're heirs and joint heirs together with Christ. One day we're going to see him. And when we see him, we are going to be like him. So this morning, no longer are we in darkness, but we are in the light of his presence. Let's follow him, not letting anything deter us to turn aside. Keep your eyes on Jesus this morning. He knows the way. I'm glad of that this morning. May God bless those few thoughts. May we be encouraged this morning to go on with the Lord, to follow him. It's a good thing to follow the Lord. He will not lead us astray, because he knows the way. Amen.